Okay, today is January 9th of 2020. I'd like to call to order the Esperanza Elementary Board. It is now 6:19 p.m. We have present with us Becky Kemp, Debbie Bellman, Marty Banks. Those are the members. Members absent so far, we're hoping to have more. It would be Juan, Cody, Case, and Shalene, and Angela Zamora. Present with us today is Mr. Alejandre, Brian Cates from Red Apple, Matt Christensen from Squire, Ari Moreno, and Esmeralda Torres.
She's not
here. Oh yeah, she's not here. Duh. I knew that. Sorry. So let's go ahead and get started with Brian. Oh, and we also have Mr. Phil Shumway with us as well. So let's go ahead and get started with the financial report with Brian Cates.
Okay, thank you. Happy New Year, everybody. Good to see everybody again. This report that you have in front of you is as of the end of December, so 50% of the way through the fiscal year. It's kind of crazy to think they're already halfway through. Things are looking very good. This report does reflect the allotment, the trued up allotment that came from the state on the last business day of December. And as we expected, there are increases in majority of the buckets in state revenue. And that's due to the fact we had an October 1 count slightly higher than what we had budgeted, very similar to the prior year. Cash balance is looking healthy. You can see an increase there, primarily due to the trued up allotment memo, state revenue. Our PTIF fund is continuing to produce, as it were, and it's last month was about $1,200 in interest. We'll keep a close eye. We talked about this in the finance meeting prior to this meeting, but we'll keep a close eye on our cash balance. We are getting very close to the point where we could probably increase our investment in the PTIF. So we'll probably take a closer look at that next month. Enrollment is holding steady as of Monday, as of the beginning of this month when school came back in. We're at about 535. So that's great. Overall, on the expense side, we are about where we should be. There are some specific line items that we reviewed in the finance meeting that are running a little high, and we're keeping an eye on those. But overall, the 100s through the 800s look about where they should be. The work on Utah grants applications continues. Some applications, those deadlines have passed and those were approved. Alohio has been working closely with Red Apple, particularly Thane, and making sure that all of those things are approved and submitted in a timely manner. So that's going well. And we are getting into the time of year where we will begin to take a closer look at restricted funds, start making those federal requests when we can through Utah grants. And then before you know it, here in the next few months, we'll be putting together the budget for the preliminary work to put together the budget for the 2020-2021 school year. Questions, anybody, at this point?
I think I do this every time, but where are the PTIF funds on here?
So that first line item, local revenue.
Okay, interest on investments.
Interest on investments, correct. I didn't distribute the statement for the PTIF, but it is on the Google Drive, along with copies of this report.
If you have a set mark on the any cash balance that you feel ought to really trigger that shift of PTIF funds?
You know,
we're at 1.4 now.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at your low point of any given month. And you can see here we have the high and low of the month. And you can see, for example, in December, we'll look at November, it drops down to right around, I would say, 950. Uh-huh. But when you have, I would say, half a million to you know, at your low point, then I would feel comfortable shifting more funds into the PTIF. You just want to make sure that you always have a safe amount in your operating account, obviously, to cover any expenses.
Half a million, maybe?
I would say. Would you agree with that?
I was somewhere between 2 and 3 months.
Yeah. 2 or 3 months.
Worth of operating cash.
Right.
Okay.
So that's obviously, probably, at this point, we'd be very safe to transfer a good 300 or 400 in, but given the uptick, I would like to see another month or two to see kind of what the trend is, and then I think we'd be fine moving more over. And again, we adopted the resolution, so really it would be a decision. I mean, I prefer to have the board be aware, but we wouldn't need any board vote to move additional funds over.
Okay. And if when we make that transfer, what would the ideal remaining balance be?
Remaining balance of?
Operating funds? Some funds out of there.
In the operating account?
Uh-huh.
2 to 3 months, wouldn't you say?
No. What will that be? If the balance is 1.4 now,
yeah.
How much will we take out? Or how much will we leave in?
Probably about 750.
Yeah. I was going to say 8, but 750 or 8, I would feel comfortable with.
Taking out?
No, leaving in.
Leaving in.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got $600,000 to move, maybe.
Roughly. Yep.
And the differential between what it's earning, if it's earning anything now, and what it will be earning is probably, what, 4 or 5%?
Well, on average, it earns around 3%, depending on the market. It's slightly under that right now. Overall,
it's earning nothing now.
No, it is. It's earning about three, just under three now.
As opposed to in the fund.
Well, it would just be earning more cash. The percentage of would be the same, but it would. I mean, if we moved another 600 over, that would, in theory, double the interest that we're earning on it.
Mm-hmm. So right now, in cash, net cash is about $1,200 to $1,500 a month that we're earning in interest.
So the differential rate is going to be 3 or 4%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could I ask what the products are that we're investing in?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but I can send you that information.
Okay.
If that would be okay.
I was wondering if those were index funds or what they were.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty low risk. But specifically, I couldn't say off the top of my head, but I will send you that.
Okay.
In fact, Elohio could probably send it to you right now. Do you still have that email that I sent with all of the information on the? Do you still have that? It's okay. I can send
okay.
it.
I'm a newbie, so
no, it's a good question.
Just an interest.
It's a very good
just
question.
A couple of things. Cody is online, but he won't be able to stay, so he will be giving his vote probably to you in just a sec.
Other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's helpful.
I'm going to pull that up now.
I've got a little bit of it here.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Do you have how it's invested?
I don't have the whole amount of the investment, but the PTF is primarily composed of corporate bonds and notes, all with about a 45 day weighted average, so they're pretty liquid. They flush through fairly quickly, and of the debt securities that are inside of the PTF, there's no more than 5% of the total investment in any single issuer of debt. So it's very diversified.
Diverse, yeah.
And this is he's reading from the audit report, which you all have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or should you have 2 votes? He gave you his
okay.
vote.
Thanks, man.
Hey, you know, here to help out.
To I don't care what they say about auditors.
You know, trying to buck the trend.
Hey, where's that pocket protector? Well,
yeah. So Cody is here. So
here.
He is leaving us, and he gave his vote to Marty.
Okay.
How kind of him.
Is he out of town? Let's go ahead then and review the minutes from last meeting. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll quickly go over them. Okay. Doesn't have a second. Sorry, I apologize. And they're not opening up right now, so maybe
they're right there.
Oh, the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. I thought I had it open, but I didn't. Okay, let's go ahead and we'll review the minutes from the meeting on Thursday, November 21st. Once again, we had the financial report from Red Apple. It's pretty similar to where we were at on the current report, so I'll move on to the action items. We reviewed and approved the minutes from October 4th with the removal of CSI funds discussion. We did not discuss them on the October 24th meeting. And we did review the resume of Mr. Shumway, but he was not available at that meeting, so he was deferred to this meeting. Then we had a committee discussion to discuss policy review. We all agreed that the policies need to be manageable, and the board recommends that we review one per meeting. And then we didn't have time to discuss any of the founding charter section review. We then went on to discuss the review of the Shopko intent to purchase letter, in which the lessor redacted their offer. We reviewed the resume of Mr. Shumway, and then we had the executive director's report. And moving on to the PTO report, we discussed the Dia de los Muertos festival, as well as some events going on with the mariachi, and made a motion to change the date of our board meetings to the second Thursday of the month starting in January, and the meeting adjourned at 7:15. Does anybody have anything they'd like, after reviewing the minutes, they'd like to change, or?
Seeing none, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as reflected on the attachment to the agenda.
I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, minutes are approved. All right, so the next item on our agenda is to review the resume and Mr. Shumway.
I attached a copy of his information, the one that emailed us.
Yep.
Thank you.
So everybody should have a copy there.
I'm looking.
There you go.
Oh, right there. Mm-hmm. It's on his bronze letterhead. That's why I didn't write it.
Yeah.
Okay. Before our meeting started, I had a chance to chat with Bill briefly about some of his current professional involvements, and he mentioned the TURN organization and the Futures organization. I'd be interested to hear, Bill, your interest or experience with educational organizations, institutions, efforts.
Well, actually, I don't have any, except for serving on a board with Aloe Hill probably 3 years ago when we were looking at putting together Aloe Hill and I were on the same board for Futures Through Training at that time, and we were looking at putting together another charter school at that time, and we went through kind of an application process, a bit of a training curve for me as far as understanding all the ins and outs of a complicated school like a charter school, and then we disbanded.
Yeah, that's when they were requiring me to tell them if I was going to stay with Esperanza or leave with Futures Through Training or withdraw my our application, so I withdrew the application.
Yeah, gotcha. I remember that.
Yeah. And the one of the reasons that we asked Phil to be on the board is because his experience and expertise with money.
Yeah.
He, as he was talking to you earlier, has a lot of experience working with nonprofits and the funding sector.
Yeah, awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I've worked with a number of nonprofits throughout the state of Utah and also in Oregon. We helped start an agency there many years ago too, and currently TURN has a budget of about $20 million, and it's my chief responsibility at this point now as the chief financial officer to take care of those funds and to look over our assets as an organization. And we own close to $3 million in property and a fleet of vehicles that we always have to maintain and rotate and doing those types of things. So Lohill thought that maybe I would make a good addition to our organization. I know that Esperanza is thinking about making some big investments in the future and maybe some expansions, and that maybe I could help with that.
Good. Paul, say one other comment that I had, Phil, was I'm not a real worrier, but the last couple of months I've worried a lot when I've seen two or three charter schools fail.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Fail in a fairly public and mm-hmm. loud newspaper way.
Yes.
And I haven't taken the time really to dig into the whys and the hows and what contributed to those failures. But they were significant enough to keep me awake a couple of nights.
Right.
Wondering mm-hmm. if, you know, how that happens. And especially where there seemed to be, in both instances, a fair amount of sort of good energy underlying the schools and good right. intentions.
Mm-hmm. And good people working in those schools.
I don't know those people, yeah. but I presumed as much. Yeah. And, you know, good energy, good people apparently isn't enough mm-hmm. to keep people safe and financial.
Right.
And so any additional experience or any eyes with some financial expertise I think would be well appreciated by other members of the board.
Yeah, and I think also in some of those same articles that I read through November and December, it sounds like the school board and legislators actually want to take a bigger oversight view on charter schools and board members on charter school organizations. And of course, that should make us all worry. But I think this is a well-run type of school. I think Lohill is a great professional who has a lot of experience. And so I think all of us could help in that guidance for the senior staff to really make the school successful.
Good.
I'm not educated on number, the scores and those types of things. I understand the numbers of students and the need for the count to be as steady as possible and as high as possible for funding, but beyond that, I'd need some education on that.
Well, you will not be the first board member that came into this without an educational background.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor, I make a motion to vote Mr. Shumway in as the newest member of the board at Esperanza.
On behalf of Brian Case, on my own vote, I vote yay.
Oh, you mean Cody?
Cody.
Oh, Cody, who did I say?
Brian, say me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm like,
he's got an omnipresent.
He was looking at you, that's why he said.
Careful, I wasn't
very nice of you, Brian.
I'm sorry. You, Becky did make a motion, didn't she?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I second the motion. I was premature.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On behalf of myself. And Cody.
Last names are very similar.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Okay, then we're ready to go on to the next.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Phil.
If you'll have us, I guess, is what we should say. Next we have Matt Christensen here from Squire, who is going to discuss our recent audit.
Okay, well, not as recent as...
Right.
The most recent.
Most recent. There you go.
The most recent audit, yes.
So, yes.
What was the audit period?
The audit period was the 18-19 school year.
School year, 18-19 school year. Okay,
that's correct. So first, I do want to express my appreciation of both Esperanza and Red Apple, specifically Brian. I've been working with Brian for now,
what,
4 years?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning.
For me, anyways.
And I've always appreciated your efforts, Red Apple's efforts, and specifically Brian's efforts. I think it's a great team. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
The audit was actually fantastic. From a financial standpoint, just like Brian presented earlier, Esperanza is in a great position. I definitely would agree that your cash balance, you can definitely put more into the PTIF fund. That 2 to 3 month window of operating cash is probably very comfortable to maintain at. And if you're ever worried, withdrawing from the PTIF is actually fairly quick. You can get to that cash very easily. So it's not like it's locked in a mutual fund that for 3 years. You can get it. So if that is a fear that you guys have, don't. It shouldn't be. It's also managed by the state of Utah and with Utah money. So you're investing locally, which is good. It looks from the financials going through it, your enrollment has been maintained about 530 for now, looks about 3 years, which is fantastic, keeping those numbers up, which is helping on the bottom line, keep allowing you to receive lots of funds through the allotment memo.
Hey, in your experience, forgive me for interrupting,
yes,
but on
please.
That point, is it typical for most schools that, in business, if you're not growing, you're dying? In schools, what's typically the governing ceiling for student body growth? Is it the facility?
Physical facility?
Yep. And is that what's capping our growth right now?
Mm-hmm. The state gives
the
us
charter
525
itself.
Slots.
Because of?
Because
that's in the charter.
It's in the charter.
Yes.
Understand, but that's what I'm trying to differentiate here. Is our cap our charter or is it our facility?
Your funding is capped based on your charter.
Right.
So if you're up to 520, you get funding up to 520.
But I think they chose 520 because there wasn't room for more.
So they, plus
3%. Yeah, plus a maximum of 3%.
Yes.
But they want us to keep close to our cap, which is 525. And so we stay 5 to 10 students above it.
Really, the question then is, could our facility accommodate more students than our charter allows?
No. We're at the very top.
In
we don't
what
have
aspect?
Room. We don't have
chairs,
rooms.
Teachers, rooms?
We don't have space
for
another classroom. We would have to take away one of the music rooms.
What about the classes we have? Are they sufficiently full?
So in the charter, it says that we will have 25 kids in every classroom. And we can go up a little bit, and we will never go above 30. The sixth graders now have 31, I think, one class, and the other one has 30. But we try to keep it between 25 and 30 because it's in the charter that we want to keep it at 25.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, so I think if it's 15 for teacher, and
we
have.
Well, that's why we are able to go up a little bit because we put another adult in there.
If our facility were bigger, we may well decide to try to expand our charter.
Yes.
But it's not, and so we're content with the status quo.
Yeah, I think if the facility were bigger, it would have a higher number in the charter.
Right. Well, you'd rewrite your charter.
Yeah,
we have to rewrite. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do have 248 people on the waiting list.
Okay. So. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, these are great questions. So, better than my report.
248, I believe, as of today.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, another question.
Yes.
On the same thing before you move. Forgive me. I don't want to interrupt your more important stuff, but. You heard me mention a couple of minutes ago, my friend, about some of those failed schools.
Yes.
Do you know, we spent a little bit of money hiring a terrific management firm. Is that more the rule than the exception, that charter schools are hiring managers? And did those failed schools have contracts with similar capable contractors.
Okay, so certain questions, because I'm independent, I should not answer. I will not answer.
Sure.
But I would say across the charter world, it's probably about a 50-50 between hiring out an external party to help with the finances versus keeping it in-house. And on the failure rate, I would also say it's probably about 50-50.
Have consultants, half don't?
Yes.
Okay. And again, without disclosing any confidences, of those that failed, not just the last 6 months, but the last, in terms of your familiarity, mm-hmm. of those that failed that had outside consultants, were the consultants able to sort of alert those folks ahead of time of problems, red flags, or were they real surprises?
That's something I can't answer because I don't have that specific knowledge. So it's not that I can't because I'm independent. It's I don't have that type of insight to answer the question, unfortunately.
Okay. Do you happen to know, Brian, if for the most part the surprise hits both the consultant and the school at the same time, or if the consultants are usually
I'd be very surprised if it was a surprise to who was handling the school. But yeah, I wouldn't have any further information or detail on that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And Marty, so you know, they didn't close them overnight. I mean, it's a 3-year process. And we knew at meetings of the directors of the state who was having to stay after to talk to the people at the state because of issues that they were having. And in fact, I don't know if you remember, we had one of those schools come to see us.
Yeah, I do.
That the state said, come and see Esperanza to see how they function. And so they came to this room, and they were with us for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, so they knew.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
No.
Again, these are good questions, and questions are great, because that's what you want to know.
But wasn't one of the other reasons that their enrollment had dropped?
Well, when the problems begin, then the parents start looking for schools.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and there's you know, there's so many different things that can and sometimes do contribute to what is the ultimate failure of a school.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, a lot of what comes out is that it was financially driven, but I mean, it could start with a leadership or lack thereof. It could, I mean, there's so many different, and really you can't compare one to the other because, I mean, so many different parts of the schools are different and run differently. And, you know, the makeup of the school and the demographic, I mean, there's so many different factors that you could go into that may or may not have contributed to ultimate failure. But certainly enrollment is an indication of that as that's what, you know, ultimately, excuse me, drives the funding of the school.
Okay, I would agree to what Brian said. I mean, because even some that he manages that have two campuses, the two campuses of the same school are different. So everything has to be taken on a by case scenario with enrollment, with funding, with leadership, with policies, with procedures. 20 different things could factor into potential dangers. Okay. So our audit report, I'll cut to the juicy details. The good, clean audit report as far as financial standings. We did not find anything that was significantly outside of any worry as far as the numbers, how they're being presented, that they're being presented fairly and accurately within a material respect. Okay. From the testing we did, there's according to the state and federal guidelines that we have to add on top of our normal financial audit, under the state tests, we did have two, I wouldn't say failures, I would say they were exceptions. One of them was our treasurer's bond was not adequately funded to the level it needed to be per the state requirements. I think we were only off by about $20,000-$30,000 from meeting in the requirement. Subsequent to year end, Brian and I have already had conversations, and we've gotten you to the point where you'll be good for at least, I think, 2 years.
And it is officially correct now.
Yes.
And it's bonded and premium, I mean, it's paid for. That's fixed.
And that bond covers that, malfeasance by
That's what
who?
I was about to go into.
Yeah, go for it. That? Yeah. No, you got it. You're the one who reads it.
Okay, but you jump in when I start going wrong here. Yeah. Okay. So a treasurer's bond is an interesting instrument, and I've talked with our liability broker quite a bit about it. And in fact, I'll just say right now that he is looking into an alternative to the treasurer's bond, something that more is in line with what a liability coverage would be. He calls it a crime policy, right, but it would be essentially an addendum to the current coverage, as opposed to a treasurer's bond, which ultimately holds one person responsible,
yes,
for any malfeasance, which I don't like.
Right. Yeah, I don't like that either.
So ultimately, that bond is driven by prior year projected revenue.
Correct.
Or actual.
It's
budgeted or actual?
Now you got me.
I think it's budgeted.
I think it's budgeted, yep.
And so it's a percentage of that budgeted revenue. And so the prior year's bond, because of the increase of revenue, it dropped slightly low, or it was slightly below what the percentage should have been. So I corrected that a couple of months ago. We have the bond that is in compliance. I think the extra premium on it was like $60 or something. So we took care of that.
Right.
Other questions on that?
Yeah. So that was one. The other one that we got clipped on this year was budgetary compliance. The state requires you that your final budget that you submit to them, you have to be within, you know, I think about 5% of your total current your total final expenditures. So what you say you're going to expend versus what you actually do spend at the year end has to be within that margin. We were off. I was going to say quite a significant amount, but it was due to a very specific accounting event when you bonded. When you bond, and this only exists once, it creates a specific expense on your books with a corresponding revenue, so there's no impact, but it's expense and revenue. And that put us about $8 million into a deficit position on the expense side for budget.
And this is a fairly common exception on audits. I have it with several of my other schools, and it's oftentimes it happens not because there was some unexpected expense at the end of the year, but oftentimes it happens when moving from modified accrual to full accrual on the audit. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's an exception, but.
And was ours a result of a change of method of accounting?
No, it was resulted from the actual bonding
amount.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, and I would say over my years that I've been auditing schools, I would say a good 8 out of 10 schools fail this every time they bond, just because it's one of those things that only happens once, and if you're not specifically looking for it or watching for it, it gets you. So. I would say it's a low, very low failure on the side of the state compliance. So, but since then, I think the state's already reached out to you to address, I think, the issue. Is that correct, Brian?
No, we won't hear from them for
till like
another
May.
Few months. Yeah.
Okay. You'll probably get a
what
letter.
What it is, it's that same letter.
The same letter that we have to write.
And I write back and say,
we realize what happened.
I send it in, and then we never hear anything about it.
Right.
Unless we try to borrow money again. They'll bring it up at the meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
But outside of those two items, everything looked great. So, again, one of them was mostly just a one-off that happened just because of the accounting behind it. And the other one was just on the bond, making sure that the budget was being followed by the state-approved guidelines of how much you had to have be bonded by. So, outside of that, is there any other questions? Okay. So I always try to leave with things I learned in a year of auditing schools. So there was two items that happened, I think, last year that we caught a bunch of people on. Not say caught, but two items of concern that were raised during the 18-19 school year. One of them, I don't even think applies to you because it has to do with credit cards. I don't think we have credit cards here at Esperanza, do we?
We do have.
We have a debit card.
Debit card.
We have a debit card? Okay, so yeah, you're totally fine on that then. The other item that is actually not even related to finances, but your school calendar. We had a lot of people a year ago get caught in their school calendar because they didn't budget for a snow day. And you laugh, but it's hilarious how much the parents get really mad when all of a sudden you tack on an extra day of school during a break or during the end of the year. So
we don't. We are here.
So one of the big districts in the state got a lot of parents really riled up, and a lot of charters got riled up because they didn't budget for a snow day last year.
Yeah,
and there was an incredible amount of snow that hit. I don't even remember what day it was, but
yeah,
it shut down like half the state.
And we had 198 kids show up out of 545, but we stay open.
Okay. So.
Is that something you guys check for? Is it part of the audit?
It's not part of this audit, but it is attached to our...
The calendar. They have to look at the calendar.
Yes. I'm losing the name of it. What is it called? Our...
what?
When we come in and do the kid count.
Yeah.
Yes.
When they come and do the kids... They also look at the calendar to make sure that we have enough days.
Yeah, because we look for 180 days.
First.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So our big suggestion is that even if you don't use it, put it on the calendar because it's easier to wipe it off and make parents happy that they don't have to send their kids than it is on the other side of trying to steal a day away from a vacation.
Yeah. Okay, we usually don't schedule one.
Yeah, I was going to say,
because we've committed, because we have the needs of our school are different than any other school. Our kids, our parents don't have the jobs where they can decide not to go to work.
Yeah.
And so we will not. I mean, that day,
yeah,
it took me 3 hours to get to work from Ogden, but I was here before.
If one kid shows up, you'll be here.
If there's one child here, we will have people here.
Great.
Half of the teachers were not here, and half of the staff were not here, but we were here.
And so somebody was there.
we had people here.
But that doesn't affect the amount of days on the calendar,
no,
though, right?
No, it's just
trying to add an extra day.
I know. What was the name of the district? Was it? It wasn't Granite. It was Davis. That they had to add a day to the calendar,
right,
and people were just up in
it
arms.
It was like at the end of the school.
Yeah, yeah, it was, yeah, right at the end of the school year. Everybody wanted to leave on vacation,
yeah,
and it was like a riot.
It was in the news. It was, yeah, it was bad.
So that was one of the things that we were passing around. That if, I mean, your situation is
different
than others,
yeah,
but it's always easier to put it on now and not use it than to try to add it later.
Yeah.
So. So I guess you could say that both of my items this year don't apply to you guys. It's great.
We'll be here.
The other last tidbits I can leave you with is that, yeah, as you're coming up on the federal reimbursement side, taking a good look at your reimbursement requests, making sure that they are squeaky clean, is going to help go a long way in getting those requests through. They've been under a lot of scrutiny this past, I would say, probably 2 years. A lot of extra scrutiny. So anything you can do to make sure that they're prepared ahead of time is going to save you a lot of headache on the back end.
So what exactly is that?
So there are specific federal programs, and for example, Title I, Title II,
right,
Title III, IDEA, which is the Federal Special Education, that we budget for, but those funds are requested. So after we have the expenses, we then prepare a request through Utah Grants requesting the amount of funds that we've spent down for that specific program.
Okay.
So that's typically, this time of year typically is when it happens. Last year it didn't because Utah Grants wasn't ready, and it was much later that we actually made the request, but typically in prior years it's about this time. So in the finance meeting, but prior to this meeting, Luke, you know, talked about that in our next meeting we'll be looking at that specifically. And just a little bit of background relative to what we were talking about earlier and what Matt alluded to as far as more additional scrutiny. There have been a lot of questions as far as schools' capability of segregating those funds, whether it's restricted funds that are coming in monthly through the allotment or federal funds which are requested. And having the capability through your accounting software to properly classify those funds throughout the year, which we do, and I explained in the prior meeting as far as the version of QuickBooks that we have that has the programmatic capabilities. In other words, you can look at a profit and loss by class to see your revenues and expenses for each program. And apparently there was a lot of charter schools out there that didn't have that capability. I don't know how they did things, but Esperanza is very much, we very much watch those very, very closely to make sure that everything is good. So, yeah.
So I just want to make sure, so your recommendations are that we prepare for the federal reimbursement in a timely manner, right?
Yes.
Applications?
Yeah, I would definitely say that the sooner you can get it looked at, reviewed, the better.
Okay, and then you're also recommending that we add a snow day into...
Yep.
And then the other thing that I thought I heard you mention also is that we should consider or think about increasing our PTIF donate, or what we're putting, contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. I just want to make sure I have that in the notes for recommendations.
You just get so much more out of the PTIF fund than your normal checking account. And with it being so liquid, it just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's not really a downside. When we first talked about this, you'll recall we talked about, liquidity was like the first thing I brought up because it's important for mm-hmm. schools who don't have a lot of cash on hand to begin with.
So, you're doing great. I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate your time and efforts pouring into the school for the students and the teachers. So, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you. I guess any last questions? Okay. Thank you.
Your audit will be available. I take it.
Yes. Okay. I gave you copies. I think you have copies as well.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I'll also.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great rest of your meeting.
All righty. Now we'll bring out the dessert.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks for coming.
No, thanks, Brian.
See ya.
I know it wasn't on the agenda, but one of the things we talked about last board meeting was the policy review and that, standardizing formats. I can defer it to next time if you like. But I did bring two copies of the same policy in two different formats, and I didn't know if we wanted to look at it or review it. It's your call. Since Cody's not really here, and this was...
And I removed it because
he wasn't...
Yeah,
never responded.
Okay.
And I usually just send the generic one, and then as you guys
okay.
want...
Okay, then I'll just hang on to him for the next time.
Yeah.
We gotta wait, probably.
Okay. It works out well, too, because my copier was acting kind of funny, so I'll just keep it for next time. All right, thank you. All right, is Cody still on or is he?
No, he left
gone?
Us.
Okay. All right, then let's go ahead and move on to our director's report.
I'm trying to see if
I actually have to step out
you're
too,
good.
But thank you all. Yeah, nice
great.
Meeting you.
Nice right. meeting you.
And
I thought I turned it on. Is it on?
I don't know.
I'll get with Alohio, but. I think we should move forward with just moving some funds over.
Here
what do you think?
Yeah, I say sooner better.
Yeah.
Start our summer
intro. We want to...
Yeah, I don't... Well, the resolution's already been adopted by the board, so really it's just
affecting
a conversation, and then we'll take care of it. What amount are we comfortable with?
The recommendation we talked about earlier sounds good to me, putting everything in there except for
3 months. 3 months, month.
90
days operating, okay.
What are we doing? So I can put it in the notes.
I know, I'm sorry, I brought that up as I'm getting up.
No,
just moving additional funds over to the PTIF, if we're going to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
I gotta get some popcorn before you load Joe's movie.
Okay,
it's really short.
See ya.
All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks.
You want me to hold that?
So, Phil, you haven't seen this before. This is our faculty and staff. Every year, at the beginning of the year, we take a picture of everyone that works here. The teachers are all there. Faculty and staff are not all here because this is before we begin the school year. So, and we always have that picture on our Facebook page and website and all the other good places that we have. This is the enrollment as of today. As I mentioned, we are budget, we are approved for 525 students. We right now have 10 more than we should have, and we may add two or three more and then not add any more for the rest of the year. And then we're looking to add a couple of kindergarten students because we lost a couple of kindergarten students. And then not even if they leave, as long as we don't get below 525, we keep the number that we have from now until the end of the year. We don't lose many kids anymore. Our retention rate is right around 95%, so we don't have to replace too many kids. And as of today, this is our waiting list, 247 students is who we have on the list. We do have some siblings. SWLs are the ones that are siblings of kids that are already here who are looking to come into the school. And those classrooms with kinder, we have a lot of kids. We may be able to bring that one on. Second grade is high, fourth and fifth. Sixth grade is the highest. We have 61 kids with two classrooms, so we would not bring any more kids in at all.
So will that be the same number next year with the fifth graders moving into sixth grade?
At this point, yes.
Okay.
Because we have 60 kids in the in the school as well, I believe. We have 61, and we have 62 in fifth, so we will keep the same number of teachers, yes. Even though in fifth grade, we do have three teachers.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, and you had three teachers. Because my son has a relatively small class, 20 students.
The board meetings, as you can see, changed as of today. They'll be in the second week of the month. Right now we're looking at doing a June training, the 13th and the 14th, the 12th and the 13th, it looks like. Friday and Saturday, we do this every year. We meet at 6 or 7, do some team building exercises, and start the review of policies and so on. And then on the Saturday morning, we begin to have a board meeting and then some more policy reviews. And so that's kind of what we're looking at right now. And so that I can begin to find the hotel and the places, we need to figure out where you want to go this time. Last time we went to
the Homestead Midway.
The Homestead Midway. We've had it in Ogden,
Park City,
and Park City before. Yeah. So, does anybody want to go to Hawaii?
Mm-hmm. Hawaii, that sounds great. If they're paying,
do.
Delta, Utah. You, I went from Hawaii to Marty's Delta. One year we were supposed to have a conference in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And there was a hurricane. And they took us to Idaho. And then we're like, Puerto Rico, Idaho. I think we can weather the storm. Let's go to Puerto Rico. But it destroyed the hotel we were supposed to stay. So
whitewater rafting in Wyoming, that's a good team.
We stayed in a place that up on the north. And I forget, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, Coeur d'Alene. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Oh, that's pretty up there.
But you know what? They have signs where it says no black people allowed.
Are you kidding? Oh, yeah.
No, even
it's
now.
True.
I mean,
it's true.
I mean, this is like 10 years ago.
No, what allowed?
Black. No, no blacks allowed.
There are certainly.
10 years ago.
Yes.
Oh,
10 years ago.
Wow.
And then they had signs. We were jogging, and it said signs, if you go past this, expect to be shot. And there was a picture of a hunter with a...
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and it was pretty scary. We went to a bar at night, and somebody threw us out. They said no Mexicans allowed. It's like,
are you kidding?
I thought it said only blacks.
Right.
It was the scariest place I've ever been to.
I've got a couple of new cases that are kind of similar on these new statutes going across the country now that discriminates legally against smokers. Uh-huh. Smokers not allowed.
Yeah, not allowed.
Smokers need not apply.
Need not apply. Yeah.
Yeah, you all just made that policy today, sir.
Yeah, they're doing that now.
It's interesting.
And are people suing?
Unsuccessfully so far.
Unsuccessfully.
They did that at the Veterans Hospital, and our union filed a national grievance.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. But they lost.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
That's,
October 1st, the VA, which is a big deal because they used to put cigarettes in military people's rations.
Yeah.
And so a lot of veterans were even saying that, you know,
you got me addicted. You got us hooked.
Yeah. And it's like, well, we got you addicted to opiates and LSD too, but we're getting you off of that. So.
That is you guys funny. Regular drug dealers out there.
Anyway, so any specific places that you want to?
I liked Midway, but I didn't at the same time. That was just me. But I mean, I love Midway itself, and I like the Homestead. I liked Park City. I wasn't able to go to the one in Ogden. I was so sick. But I'm happy to get out of my comfort zone and go somewhere.
Yeah. Hawaii's good.
Hawaii is good. Bear Lake.
Yay.
Bear Lake.
You know.
Bear Lake would be fun.
We can go glamping.
There's a place up on the mountain called Snow Basin in Ogden.
Oh, Snow Basin would be great.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the accommodations there, though. They don't really
They do have accommodations for small groups.
Where?
We had a Snow Basin ski resort. We went from when I was a student officer at Weber State. We had a training there. And there were some rooms for where we met. And
well, there are some meeting rooms I can see in lodges, but if we're staying overnight.
They do have
hotels.
They do,
yeah. Oh, yeah, it's grown a
lot. At the resort, and I ski up there a lot.
They do.
How is it in the summer, though? No basin in the summer?
It's really beautiful in summer.
It's gorgeous. Pretty.
And then the north one.
Hecked up there.
What is the north ski resort?
Powder Mountain.
Powder Mountain. They built some brand new hotels there.
Ooh, I'd like either one of those places.
Yeah.
Let me
look into that. Let me look and see what they have.
Really beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Pretty. And very serene. Kind of dark at night.
Dark at night is good.
Yeah, big trees and all kinds of stuff there. So okay, I'll look into
stars.
That. And what about the dates? We said June 12th and 13th.
During the week?
No, it's a Friday.
It's a Friday and Saturday. Usually it's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. Yeah, typically that's what we do. Are we open to the 5th and the 6th, the 19th and the 20th, in case there was a better date for them?
I don't know yet.
I think maybe throw these dates out there and then maybe we can
you're
come
older
back and
than
talk
a
about
quinceanera,
it.
It's Memorial Day, June 1st.
The
27th. Okay. 5th and 6th works for me as an alternative.
Okay. 5th and 6th.
I'm fine with any.
Any of those
date
weekends?
In June,
okay. We will try to make sure that we select the place and the dates by the end of this month.
If we go to Powder Mountain or Snow Basin, sometimes there's. It's still kind of mud season in June.
Is it?
It's snow melt. There's still probably snow on the ground, too.
So, I mean, even 1 or 2 weeks can make a difference. So, later better.
Okay.
Maybe we can do what we did last time, where we have the dates and availabilities of different places, and we come back and vote on it next month.
Okay, that's good. We'll do that. Because
we did
at the beginning
we did
of February.
Ogden and Park City and all of those. So maybe
I'll do that.
Do the same thing.
Okay. I will definitely look into that.
Can I ask a question since we're looking at the calendar? It has nothing to do with the board dates. But, you know, I know like Salt Lake School District, I know we go off of kind of Granite School District's calendar, and Salt Lake School District has school today and tomorrow, but they went, they had their days off the Thursday and Friday after the new year. And is there, I know we go with Granite, but to me that makes more sense. Like getting the kid, like Cooper, we just got him back on a schedule, or a child back on a schedule, and then we're going back to cutting a day and a half.
And I think the question is more broad. Do we stay with Granite or do we not? Because we do have parents that have kids in both places.
Right.
And so that's why we've been, this year I did not like the schedule, Granite.
Why
are we doing this? I mean, why did they do that?
You know, you would have loved two more days.
Absolutely.
But just actually to be fair, this year we actually have two complete weeks.
So,
yeah.
This year coming up, I was supposed to bring it. And I didn't put it on the calendar.
Oh, she's staying instead of having
tomorrow.
I will send you the calendar for next year so that we can vote on it next time.
Okay.
I will send it to you. It is really nice.
Yeah.
We have a full week in the spring break, and we have two full weeks in December.
I love it.
So, and that's the same as Grant.
And they did that the year before. Why don't they stick to that?
They stick to that. They should do that. This year was not a good
time. Maybe we can, you guys can vote next year for the year after to change it to Salt Lake instead of Grant.
The problem is the parents.
Stays good.
Yeah, the parents are the ones that would.
Well, because if they
not
have kids in junior, like for me, I have junior high and high school.
I know.
And they're in the Granite District.
And we have about more than half of the school that has
kids.
The
majority of the school here moves into the Granite District. Yeah. And it's hard when you have all the different schedules.
And even if they don't, they go to a charter school within the Granite School District, and most of us
follow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does that, though? Because, for example, Adiani, she's at East Hollywood High, and she didn't go back until the 6th.
Yeah, there are some that make exceptions.
We don't have to follow those.
No, we don't.
Because I know, like, Monticello, because I drive by it, they were off. They were off.
The 5th and the 2nd and the 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would have been a great idea.
We could have made up our own calendar.
Yeah, we could.
Well, I mean, you know, look at, for example, back after school and guitar and mariachi that day, there was like 10 students that showed up.
Yeah.
To after school that day.
Yeah, those 2 days, I think we had like
Cooper said there was hardly, there was hardly anybody in class.
We had about 100.
They're all in Mexico still here.
Wow.
Yeah. We had
less than 70%. Yeah, there was about 150.
Yeah. As he says, everybody went to Mexico for Christmas. I said, yeah, there were a lot of them that did.
Cool. Yeah. He didn't go to Guadalajara to see his dad?
No. No.
He's the one that made up he had a dad from Guadalajara.
Oh, is that right?
He made it up.
I need to ask you about the computer testing that they did for Spanish in the 5th grade.
Okay.
Because Cooper got all these notes written, they weren't his handwriting either, about how well he did.
He did.
And I want to understand really how well he did and how much is blowing up.
Now, when you learn a new language, if it's your second language, academically, you do a lot better than the native speakers. And so some of our second language learners, they did extremely well.
Samantha, my 8th grader, was just tested right before the break. Because she goes on to Eisenhower, which continues the dual immersion, so she's in AP Spanish. So they tested her in both reading, writing, and I think listening. Hmm. And she tested off the charts. Like, she's above average. She tested higher than the native speakers in her class.
That was Cooper.
That was Cooper.
That was Cooper in 5th grade, Well, and your daughter, I mean, everybody in after school, Cooper got the certificate and was like, phew. And they all came up to me. Olga came up to me. Your daughter was one of them that came up to me. And one of the other after school. And we're so proud of Cooper and wanted to show me his certificate. And it was in the garbage. He threw it away.
Oh.
It's like, I don't need it. It's
not a big deal.
He doesn't realize how cool it is.
Yeah.
He is.
And that's when I went and marched into Ari's office. Because I'm like, I have no idea what this is. Or, you know. So.
Yeah, some of those kids that are not necessarily native speakers, they went ahead of the native speakers. And you know, when
Spanish,
we go to the tournaments at Weber State, our second language learners, Spanish second language learners, are the ones that are beating everybody else over there. So,
Yeah, it's cool to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's really
cool. Because academically, they learn the Spanish the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. The native speakers speak social Spanish, and they don't necessarily want to accept the academic Spanish, because this is the way we speak at home, so why do I need to change my my register, it's called.
Right.
My social register, academic register, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, he does better in Spanish than he does English.
Yeah. Yeah,
his grades are.
It makes, it makes sense. Wow. It does make
Spanish
sense.
Spanish is easier than English.
Well, even his reading and comprehension, I mean, the entire language arts, if it's flipped on him.
Because he started here as a kindergarten student, so doesn't surprise me at all. That's what it's supposed
to be. And that's what
happen.
You have said, and so finally for me, I'm like, Esperanza is doing what it's supposed to do. I was so excited and happy. I was telling him what a big deal it was.
Yeah. There is not much more happening this next 3 months right now. The mariachi band is recording another CD.
The norteño band.
With the norteño, both.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be both. And we will be at the Capitol, the state Capitol, recording Imagine. Yeah.
I cry every time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I cry just thinking about it. So.
The Beatles, Imagine?
Imagine.
Yeah, John Lennon.
In Spanish and English, half and half. I'm getting the chills right now.
Cause I know, I do too.
They are good.
I have Imagine tattooed on my wrist. That's my favorite.
Oh, really?
John Lennon's my favorite.
It'll make you cry.
It's half in Spanish and half in English.
Do you know when the date is? When it's a Saturday.
For what?
I don't know. They need to.
They're going to be recording Imagine at the Capitol.
Oh yeah.
And we are renting the Capitol. I mean, they're going to reserve it for us for 2 hours.
Oh, that's good.
To be able to bring the cameras in, making sure that it's going to be a video, music video, and that song will be on the CD as well. So.
How'd that come about?
Our mariachi teacher is just creative, and he says, with all these things happening in the world, I think we should do a video of Imagine.
The whole song.
Honestly, seriously.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
And I said, yeah, I think it sounds good. And so we started checking into it.
Our mariachi band leader is acquainted with the, there you go.
Yeah, she owns him.
I'm the lucky one.
Yeah. Very creative guy.
I know. Who works harder, actually?
Yeah, right.
You ought to see the norteño band that he created now. He's going to be singing some Selena songs, and they are amazing. Well, there's one little girl that sounds like her.
She looks like her.
And she even looks like her, like Selena, and so she moves and dances and stuff. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's going to be good. So the CD will have six or so songs with a norteño band and 10 with a mariachi band.
Are we going to plan on selling those again at the
May? This time they will be back in May because they weren't last time.
So Imagine is also on the last CD they put out too.
Yeah.
So.
But it was not a music video. This is going to be a music video.
Gotcha.
So, and he's got all kinds of ideas, so it'll be exciting to see.
Awesome.
That's a kind of a creative place to do the recording. But I guess most professional singers like a big space to record in.
Yeah.
That's a big group.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of kids.
Yeah, the acoustics in there is just going to be bouncing off them. Mm-hmm. In the rotunda, it's going to be bouncing off them.
Well, what they do is they actually, they go in the studio and record it.
And then they go there.
And they go there to just, they also sing and they do the videotaping, but then they mix the recorded in the studio with the images from there, so. They've always been good, the ones we've done, the music videos that we've done, so we expect nothing less than that. Yeah. So
sounds good.
For those of you that like to plan ahead, the 1st of May is our spring festival, end of the year festival at Granger High School. So put it on your calendar at 6 p.m.
So what is that?
So that's the kind of right before the testing. We bring the school together and the kids perform, they dance, they sing,
Each classroom does a performance, the mariachi performs, the choir performs.
We get over 1,000 community people to come and partake of that.
It's insane and fantastic.
At the high school again?
Yes, yes.
When it's over, are we just happy?
So we did a posada.
It's very cool, Phil. It's really fun.
We did a posada in December. And there were thousands of people in there. I don't know how many people showed up, but it was packed. There was no place. A posada is a Christmas
festival.
festival, but it was more cultural than the one we do. It's a traditional. When you go to other countries, they have posadas. They just have food and music and togetherness.
It was like an indoor European market. That's the only thing. Like if you've ever been to a European Christmas market, that's exactly what it's it's like.
Or, and they, you know, the kids play music. And,
will the festival be a 1 hour event?
It is. Yeah. It is 1 hour event. It's very packed.
To the second.
Yeah, it's Granger. Oh, they charge us more if we go over.
So. Yeah, they charge us $1,000 an hour. So.
Apparently, they're mad at us for about a week after.
But they give us 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after. 30 minutes to people to come in and 30 minutes to let people go. So it's a 2 hour event, but the program is 1 hour and it is packed full of stuff every second of the hour. So. It's fun. Oh, and then Phil hasn't seen this before, so maybe.
This is what you needed your popcorn for. All right.
Is that in Spanish?
That's you know what? I haven't seen that. There's got to be one in Spanish. Next time I'll bring it in Spanish.
Next time.
I'm going to buy you a little red ball and a little blazer next time, and I'll have you do it yourself.
There you go.
Anything else? Nope. The next thing would be the PTO report. Did you guys start the fundraiser yet on the pizzas? Because I haven't seen anything.
I don't know why. Do you know why?
I do not know why.
I haven't
we
seen
were supposed
Natalie.
To start before in December. But there was a problem. They weren't. They didn't have the coupons, and they were supposed to have them. I am sorry. I did not.
Has she been back?
Yeah, she's back. I talked to her today about the food.
I just haven't seen her. I've come in a couple times, but
she's back. She was here today. We talked about the field trip. So I'll ask her for next time to see what's going on if she hasn't yet.
Yeah, because that's our next. We really don't have anything.
Yeah, because you're not doing the chocolate.
We've canceled the chocolates. We can, Russ, our chocolate guy, we can reschedule if this pizza one doesn't go well. But since the pizza one's delayed, I don't know if we will have time to get the numbers in and reschedule.
Okay.
So I don't know if he gave her a deadline of when we could reschedule. I mean, the chocolates is our biggest.
I know.
And it just sells.
But the pizzas are pretty good, too.
They are. That's what I've heard. We've never done it before.
Yeah.
Well, we did it last year for fourth grade, and it raised a lot of money.
The snow thing, the snow shoes.
Yeah, and it sold a lot of money very quickly. Okay.
The next board meeting, is February 13th at 6 p.m. We'll go ahead and adjourn at 7:27.
Wow, that's good.